the consequences of communist ideal for religion, nationality, and human personality. Religion. As is clear, the opposition between communism and all religion, natural and supernatural, is complete. There can be no compromise. An animal can have no religion, for an animal cannot even know of the existence of God. Without that knowledge, there can be no question of supernatural revelation. The Catholic Church, on the contrary, holds that human reason can arrive at the knowledge of God from the visible world, and she teaches the truths revealed by him. Marxian communism may make a truce with religion for a time from motives of expediency, but it can never logically abandon its aim of destroying every vestige of religion. An important consequence of Marxism in the realm of morality requires to be stressed, for it is so utterly opposed not only to Catholicism, but to sane natural reason that people find it hard to believe that such things are actually taught. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, for example, have no meaning for communists. For them, there can, logically, be no such thing as an eternal law. Matter is evolving and must evolve in the direction of communism. Accordingly, everything that contributes efficaciously to the construction of the communist state is moral. Whatever is opposed to it is immoral. Thus, the most violent and implacable suppression of every form of opposition, all that we call murder, lying, tyranny, is justified in their eyes if it is useful to the end, the triumph of communism. From the 1932 Thomist Review, quote, "We deny all morality in the bourgeois sense," wrote Lenin, "for according to the bourgeois, morality had its origin in the commandments of God. We affirm that we do not believe in God, and we are well aware that when the clergy, the landowners, and the middle class pretended to speak in the name of God, they were in reality trying to defend their own interests as exploiters. Our morality, on the contrary, is entirely subordinate to the interests of the proletariat and to the exigencies of the class war. We proclaim moral whatever serves to destroy the old exploiting form of society and group together all the workers for the creation of the new communist society. For us communists, whatever is useful for this struggle is therefore moral. Whatever groups together the workers against any form of exploitation, even against the small landowner, for small ownership gives over to the individual what has been created by the labor of the whole society. We do not believe in an eternal moral law. We denounce as lies all those legendary moral laws." End of quote. It must be ever borne in mind that for communists, lying which favors communism and communist propaganda is not lying at all. It is not immoral, according to their principles, for communists to dissimulate their real purposes under pretense of patriotism and zeal for national independence. On the contrary, if they can thus succeed in filling misguided young men with enthusiasm for Karl Marx and hatred of the restraining influence of the religion of our Lord Jesus Christ, their action is worthy of the highest praise in communist eyes. Nationality. According to the Communist Manifesto of Karl Marx, quote, "The supremacy of the proletariat will efface all national distinctions," end of quote. Communists, therefore, will take part in a national struggle only as a matter of tactics. Logically, nationality can be for them only a pretense, for nationality supposes the possession of an immaterial soul. If the communist state grants entire lingual autonomy, it emphatically does not recognize cultural autonomy and liberty. The national cultures are allowed to remain national in form, but they must be proletarian in content. Little by little, the logic of materialism will tend to wipe out national ideas, but there will come a reaction against this, as against the other anti-human elements of Marxism. That the acceptance of Marxism means logically the annihilation of nationality should be always kept in view when we read appeals to James Connolly's nationalism. Connolly, under the influence of Daniel de Leon, one of the Jews engaged in the task of harnessing the workers of the world to the chariot of Karl Marx's neo-messianism. Needless to say, James Connolly did not recognize the implications of Marx's ideas. The leading article of the Workers' Republic, 29th January 1916, in which he said that he, quote, accepted the family as the true type of human society, end quote, and insisted upon the fundamental agreement between his own views and those expressed by Father Lawrence in the Trades Hall a few days before is ample proof of this fact. As James Conley never had a chance of studying the philosophy, or rather the theology of history, from the point of view of the mystical body of Christ, he could not fully grasp that the one hope of realization of that solidarity of the members of a nation about which he spoke so touchingly in the leading article already quoted was through the life of the mystical body. Neither was he aware that the naturalistic revolutionary attack on the mystical body, which began in 1789, is being pushed forward everywhere now by communism, now by Masonry, in the attempt to wipe out our Lord and his church once and for all. Would James Conley knowingly consent to have his country serve as a mere pawn in the Marxian effort for Jewish world domination?